Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
There is no greater release than that from vengeance sated. Hunger and weakness are no bar to vengeance's call. I would find my slayers and send them back whence I came.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Play Retro, episode 28 for Wednesday, July 20th, 2022. I'm your host, Scott Johnson, and I'm here only to serve the Dark Lord Kane.
Ooh, and I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and Time Traveling Vampires is my new retro jam. Suck it, Link. I'm going dark fantasy this week.
Yeah, you are. Get ready for some dark, vampiric, blood-sucking, mother-effing...
I'm traveling... all kinds of the Shakespearean dialogue and presentation.
Yep, all of that and more on today's Play Retro. We have actually a lot to talk about. We're going to, here in a minute, we're going to talk all about the Legacy of Kain series, in particular the early stuff on the PlayStation 1 and 2. We'll have references to other stuff as well and where that series is today, and some interesting stories about how that thing came about. I realize that today's episode is going to be specific to a very select group. There are going to be people out there that go, oh, Legacy of Kain, I love that game. It was one of my favorites. I still think that story is amazing and holds up today. And you're not wrong, by the way. But also, I think it was also a little obscure for its time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Soul Reaver maybe had a larger audience, the follow-ups and sequels. But we'll talk about those, too.
I'm proof in the pudding because I play lots of video games. And I had never played Blood Omen. I just always assumed it was an inferior PlayStation version of Soul Reaver. Mm. And when I played it, mind blown.
Yeah, it's nothing like that.
What I thought it was.
Yeah, nothing like that. I played the hell out of it back in the day, so I kind of knew what it was. But to me, it was this unique mix of Diablo and, you know, that kind of top-down pre-rendered aesthetic thing that was going on in that part of the 90s. Really, it was like it was the first real vampire, I don't know, proper vampire game, as far as I'm concerned, on any video game I ever played. And I think you'll be interested, folks, in what we have to say about it. So stick around for that. Before we get going, I was going to say this.
Great use of the audio. I mean, it makes such good use of the CD technology.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Especially that early on when nobody really knew what they were doing yet. And a lot of stuff was really poorly recorded, and not this. Mm-hmm. These guys went all out.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, in my hands here, I have a Steam Deck. It's bigger than my head.
What?
Yeah, bigger than my head. It's huge.
It finally came in.
You actually can't. You kind of can't describe how big and heavy this is until you have it in your hands.
Right.
And I'm glad it is because this screen is freaking perfect for me. I can see everything really well. It's just a beast, but I've been very happy with it, and I've been throwing everything at it that I can, from new games, old games, middle games, everything in between, and retro games. Yeah.
Retro games. I'm so jealous of this. So is it true? Is it everything the hype has been delivering for retro scenes? Is it living up to it?
So far, yeah. I mean, basically, anyone out there who's familiar with like the tools that you use commonly these days to get any of this stuff done, like RetroArch and, you know, what's the front end I mentioned earlier?
Forgot Emu already. Deck, is that it?
EmuDeck dot, oh, what is it? Dot what? Hold on.
Dot
EMU dot net. Or EMU deck dot something. Oh, here it is. .com. I thought I had a weird domain. I guess
.com.
It's .com. Basically, it gets all into how, well, it gives you a downloader and you take it into desktop mode on the device and you run that thing and it just does it and it's over with and you're done. And everybody was recommending this to me, in particular, Kevin at KT Data in the chat. He was kind of my lifeline on this. It's like, here's what you got to do. Here's where you got to go. Here's what you got to do. So I did. And it was easy, super simple, nothing to it really. And once you're done, Steam has all the front end you need. So when you're back in gameplay mode, which is basically just like, you know, big picture Steam mode where you're playing all your regular Steam games, one of those is, you know, a collection of you know, retro overlays and junk like that. You get in there, you run it, bam, boom, your games are there. They're categorized. They got little video previews. You're playing the games. You got save states. You have all the functionality you're used to with RetroArch. Like, if you've had any experience with those things, this is that. You know, all your shaders, all your whatever. And it's playing everything I've thrown at it beautifully, including, I decided, I didn't go nuts and try some of the experimental 360 stuff or any of that yet. But oh, yeah. I played a bunch of Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Ooh.
60 frames, smooth as butter, no issues, perfect, great, full screen, awesome, love it. What else? And then everything all the way down to the lowest end thing I have on there is like Genesis, Super Nintendo, but they all run great. I haven't had a game be weird. I don't even know what else to say.
How is your experience compared? And this is a tough comparison. We got, both of us got the Ambernic RG 552. Is it like light years ahead of that, or is it like, oh, this is better?
Well, as you can see, and I'm sorry for people at home who cannot see these things, but here's your size difference.
Wow, that is much larger. Imagine if you had the iPhone regular size in one hand and then one of the iPhone XLs. It's like that much size difference.
Yeah, it's huge,
right?
Like an old iPhone 4 ratio compared to a 13 Pro or whatever. Yeah, it's a big difference in size. So that's the one thing that I really like about the new one is the screen is huge. But it's an LED. It's nothing fancy. It's not like an OLED screen or anything, you know, crazy. No. I wish it was. That'd be awesome, but I'm sure these would cost a lot more if they were. But it's an LED screen and it's fine. A QLED, whatever that is.
Well, you got me jealous, Scott, and I went ahead and put my $5 down, where my mouth was.
Yeah.
And I put mine in order, so it's supposed to say something like a quarter or four or something. I don't know.
Maybe before the end of the year. That'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're ramping up production. They've got a little better pipeline going. They're still insanely popular. Also, the other thing you can't get are the good external Wi-Fi, or not Wi-Fi, Bluetooth keyboard, including a touchpad. Kind of combos, those Logitech ones and others, they're sold out freaking everywhere. If you were getting a Bluetooth one. Anyway, so I was trying to get a hold of one of those, couldn't get that. And they're apparently selling out because of this device. So anyway, long and the short of it, it does everything that I would hope it would do from a retro perspective. The controller layout's all good. You got your dual sticks, you got all your buttons, you got everything you'd need. And it's just as customizable as it is on the Ambernic. The big difference here is you're using Linux instead of Android, which to the human eye is not going to make any damn difference. So that's not really the big thing. The big thing here is that it's running stuff all the way up to 360 and PS3 without hitches and glitches and slowdowns and any of that.
It's hitches like, and glitches, yeah, baby. That's our new segment here on the Play Retro
that's
Show.
Right.
We got hitches and glitches.
Also, sorry, I forgot to mention, if you have the cable for it, you can, well, it's not really just, it's just USB-C. You plug into that thing and then you go off to HDMI. Right. You can play it on your TV, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it a USB-C or is it the micro HDMI?
It's USB-C. So you would need like a cable that was either a splitter or whatever, so you could go out to HDMI, because there's no HDMI out on this thing built in. They do have that dock coming, which will do all of that in the dock, kind of Switch style.
That's what Switch does.
Yeah. But this thing does work that other way. I actually tried it. It was fine. It worked great. The problem is I had to use a splitter that I need for like production on the computer down here for my studio, so I could only use it temporarily. But the new one I got coming, I'll use it for all that stuff. And anyway, fast. It runs everything. Like, so just real quick from the like big AAA title type games, right, I'm not having any issues with any of them. They're all running beautifully and wonderfully. I played, for the heck of it, dude, this is how weird I was the other day. I decided I got in a rally mood. So here's what I did. Oh. I played three rally games, a GBA game called V-Rally 3. All right. Great game. Love it. But it's ugly. It's ugly and pixely and shitty. But it's, you know, I love it. I played that. No problem, of course. I then went and played a PSP, the PSP version of Sega Rally Championship. Again, no problem.
Of course.
Although I want to share something with you from that game. This is how that game says game over. All right. Listen to this. This is amazing. Can I find it? Oh, shoot. Where is it? Hold on. I want you. You will not believe how dumb this is. This is an amazing. You know how Sega is with all their dumb stuff. Here it is.
Oh, yeah. They always got some weird.
Found it. Here you go. Game over, yeah! How dumb is that?
You're talking about dumb.
It's the most positive. It's the most positive game over I've heard in a video game in my life.
Yeah. I mean, it's much better than the Pac-Man.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I lost. And then you're like, no, man, I kind of won in a weird way.
It's okay. I'll be back later, man.
Yeah, we'll see you later. Pick you up after the game. Over. Good looking. Anyway, so where was I going with that? So I played great, flawlessly, whatever. That's still kind of a good looking game. And then I switched over and played. I played a little Outrun as well. There's the Outrun Horizons or whatever it's called. It was like a PSP version of Outrun. Fantastic game. So I played that again also. And then I went to play a rally game in the modern context, played Dirt Rally 2.0, which is like it's like one of the dirt games, but the mainline dirt games, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are all kind of like arcade-y, you know, fun, multiple kinds of races sort of events. Dirt and 1 and 2 are very like, nope, just serious rally, no music while you're driving. Guy says, over the right, go up the thing. Here comes a jump, talking in your ear. Like, it's very serious rally car racing. But it's also very graphically intensive. I wanted to see how that looked. Flawless, 60 plus frames, no problem, all good.
I'm so jealous of this thing right now.
You're going to love it, dude. Deck. You're going to love it. I only have two complaints. You ready for these?
Give me the yes, please. Please bring it down. Raziel, give me that
I'll take
sadness.
You down. All right, here's some sadness. Here's my intro. Game over, yeah! All right, here that's our sadness. some of this is stuff that I'm not worried about so much in the long haul, because they already seem to be going crazy with updates. I think that there are a couple of problems with desktop mode and how you switch back and forth and how stuff functions. Won't get into the details, but you know, there's no built-in driver unless you're running the Steam app in the background of the desktop. And so there are times where you need to shut that down to do other things. And again, this is for tweakers and goofers like me and you.
There's another segment for the Play Retro. Tweakers and goofers.
Tweakers and goofers. And so it's a pain in the ass unless you plug your keyboard and mouse in. But if you do that, you're fine. But they've got stuff coming in upcoming updates that already say, hey, we're fixing that. Don't worry, it's coming. So I'm not that worried about that. The other thing is the sticks are awesome. The two thumbsticks.
My
only complaint is I can already tell, and this is true of a lot of controllers, I'm using the left stick a lot, pushing it forward, because a lot of games have that, right? A lot of shooters and stuff. I've been playing those racing games or whatever. They all have a kind of a forward motion thing. So when I do a full circular motion with the left stick, smooth as butter. I do it with this one, and it's smooth until I hit the apex of the north, and I can tell that's just right where I've been a lot, and it's not... The controller's not falling apart or anything. It's just things get gritty between where this thing hits the edge. And it's just because I use it so much over there. That annoys me. I've seen it in other controllers. I have an old 360 controller that did this. I get it. It happens. Whatever. It's not drift or something terrible. But it's something I kind of wish wasn't happening, because I'm being picky. And the third thing is, you know how LED screens are? They're backlit, right?
Right.
Right. And that's fine. Whatever. It doesn't matter. When I'm playing the game, it zero matters. But when things go dark, you see the screen as dark. But if there's any kind of edge bleed, light bleed at the top, bottom, or sides, you're going to see it with an LED screen. Of course, you see it here like you would any LED. So again, it's not really a problem. It just makes me wish that for a device like this, they would have gone OLED or OLED from the get-go.
Does it make kind of wish you had got the Switch Pro? What is that thing? The OLED?
It's just the Switch OLED, I think is all they call it.
Oh.
There's no Pro or anything. But that's cool, except I have to admit, dude, I like my Switch. This has 2,000 games on it because I already had them. I haven't had to buy a game since I got this thing. And the Switch ain't going to let me go unless I go through some serious hackeroony. It's not going to let me do my retro life.
That's what I was curious about. You probably heard me tapping away. OLED Switch, is it hackable? Can you put retro games on it? I want to get one of those instead of the Steam Deck so I can tell Scott to suck it.
Suck it. But also your CPU, GPU setup, all that stuff's weaker over there, of course, because it's older. Aside from that, though.
I'm not competitive.
Valve's got a damn hit on their hands here. This thing is rad. And it's nice to see after a few flubs in a row on their hardware front. You know, the Steam Link was an okay idea, but didn't really work that great. The controller was pretty cool, except they declined to have two sticks on it, which is it's a mercy killing of a device.
Right.
You didn't have, I don't even know what that means. You didn't do so well with your Steam boxes. I mean, in the end of the day, this is basically a Steam box on the portable. That's really
stupid
what this is.
Steam Link, by the way. That was the one thing that I did get mad about, because when I realized, I'm like, oh, this is only going to work at all if I hardwire it. Yeah. And if I'm going to do that, I might as well just run an HDMI cable.
Yeah.
What would be the difference between running an HDMI cable for my freaking PC with zero lag?
Right.
And it's like, well, Brian, what about your controller? I'd figure it out.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. Big, long cable for your controller.
Steam Link thing.
You'll have a 78-foot freaking USB cable through the house.
Yeah, no I was problem. Excited about the Steam Link because I thought it would work well enough over Wi-Fi, and it never did. It worked like ass over Wi-Fi. Even when I tweaked everything out, it was a horrible experience. The only way you could do it was with the network cable. And I'm like, I'm going to run a cable.
Yeah. Now, here's what I do know. I mean, at the end of the day, it wouldn't take that much, and probably already is something out there or something on the way. And we're not talking just retro here, but a device that either has Windows or Linux on it that will be able to run Steam Deck and Steam's front end and those games and all, because you just have to log into Steam. I'm sure those are coming and they'll be here soon. And when they are, they may be cheaper, they may be better, some may have better screens. I don't know. So all of that stuff being the case,
as far as
a mainline branded thing that is, you know, backed up by warranty and a company you already know, and it's, you know, it's all tied in with your Steam shit and everything. This thing is the bomb so far. I really like it a lot.
I'm so excited. I really am. I know I'm talking a lot of crap and everything, but I'm super excited you got one, and I can't wait to do it, to get mine in as well. And I still haven't ordered the Odin. I want a full Amber Nick Steam Deck versus Odin show off here on the Play Retro show. That would be my dream, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I'm impressed enough with the Steam OS now that it seems great. Like, other people are like, you can put another version of Linux on there, aren't you? No, I'm fine.
I don't see why. I mean, Valve has really invested into Linux, and they've been doing Linux for a while now. I think most of it's probably fine. I'm not saying there's not something that ain't tweaked out better out there, but I'm with you. It's kind of like they've put a lot of effort into this. I don't mind keeping it stock in that way, even though I'm a tweaker and a modder.
You are a tweaker and a modder, but I think this is for what it's meant to be for. It's pretty robust and simple.
Right.
Like, they're not trying to overcomplicate things by making it the ultimate desktop, because that's not what you're using this for. You're using this for the ultimate portable game machine. And if you need to go into desktop mode once in a while to do a little thing or two, like the retro stuff, then you do.
Yeah.
But anyway, so far, so good. I'm very happy with it. Been using it every night. Big 3D games tend to burn through that battery in about 3 hours.
That's pretty good. That's not bad.
Retro games, I'm getting like 6 to 8 hours.
Oh, yeah.
So it's great. Yeah. So just know that, you know, going into it, if that's an issue. But it's a fast charger. It's what with the new ones, 25 watt or whatever it is, the newer standard for USB-C charging. But because that thing carries power, you can put a little splitter on there, kind of like we talked about with the PlayStation hack. and use it for TV and have, you know, a keyboard and mouse connected and all that other stuff. If you really want to go nuts with it, you can. But the only other thing is it's like a piece of luggage. The thing is freaking, and I'm not complaining because I want it big. I don't want another dinky handheld. I want a big, big, broad device. And this is absolutely that. But you're not going to have this in your freaking pocket. There's no way. Yeah. Whose pocket does that fit in? That right there.
I don't know what did Tubby McGuire who was on the toilet with his Sega?
Oh yeah, no, wait.
it was Game Tubby. Gear they had to plug in.
The Game Gear. Yeah, that was him. Yeah, he was in a No, Lynx. Atari Lynx, I think.
Oh, the Atari Lynx is right, but he had it stuffed in his freaking jean jacket. That thing was like so mad. It's like, come on. Yeah. Come on.
The nice thing, too, is it comes with a case, a free case I didn't expect. Oh. Kevin reminded me in the chat. It's awesome. This is a nice little case, and it just worked. No issues. It's pretty good. By the way, these same folks who do the emudeck.com are also working on similar simplifications on other devices. So they want to do stuff on the Ambernic Win 600. They also talk about the RG552, which we've talked about.
Yeah, that new Win 600 got me interested as well.
Yeah, it's all pretty cool. The one I really want to see is the Odin.
Odin?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Odin.
Did they mention the Odin here? They do.
Yeah, they do. It's right there. If you have handled like the Ambernic RG552, which is us, or the Ain Odin, you can try our Pegasus something, and then you scrolled up. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, Brian's reading off of my stream, I guess. Over here, they give you a 5-step guide that is literally on the homepage. And there's video if you want. There's other stuff to dig into. Yeah. It's not really that hard. Just go do it. It tells you all the steps, all 5 of them. Boom, you're done.
All 5 steps.
Yeah. Here's what I want next. Game Pass works great.
Strategy guide?
You have to go into the desktop mode and get Edge beta something. And then you can run Game Pass from then forward on that browser, but you can do it in such a way that you can play it through just the main Steam Deck interface, right?
Right.
So if you have Game Pass and you want to run it there, that will work. It takes a little bit of a thing right there in the back end, but then you're done. What I really like to see is Microsoft to come out with a dedicated just download from Steam app that is ready for Game Pass. Just do that. There's no harm in that. It's the closest these two companies will ever get to being in bed together again. You know, they kind of hate each other right now, or they have in the past, for lots of reasons. They've been very vocal about it, especially Gabe Newell. But there's a chance here for something rad with Game Pass. So please do that. Okay, one last thing, Brian, then I want to hear about your Dreamcast stuff you've been doing.
Your Dreamcast junk?
Not junk. It's good. It's good. It's all good. It's not a Steam Deck, but it'll do in a pinch.
Yeah.
I want to thank Jim, who sent me a gift for my birthday. I did not expect this. So here's what I get. I open the door. There's 2 boxes in there. I think there's 2.
Okay.
One and it's a bunch of Coke Zeros. It's cherry flavor. Nice. Love them. Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah. No problem there. But then the other box I opened, a little heavier. I'm like, what's in here? Sent me a brand new unboxed PlayStation 3 for my birthday.
What? That is awesome. Thank you, Jim. That is incredible.
Wasn't that cool? So I haven't plugged it in yet, but I'm gonna fiddle with that thing.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah. When's your birthday, Brian?
You can email Brian at what's that?
I was going to say, when's your birthday? You know what I want? Nobody's bellied up on this yet. Somebody needs to say, like, they need to go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move overseas and I'm going to clean whales for the rest of my life. I'm getting off the grid. And so I need to get rid of all my awesome, what were those called? The Genesis and the Super Nintendo things. What are those called? We just talked about these last week. The emulation device things you can plug an actual cartridge into. What were they called?
Oh, the Retrons.
The Retrons.
Like Retron 5s?
Yeah. The Retron, not the Mister. I want that too. But that person, whoever owns all this, they just need to go, I got to get out of here. I've got sets of 2. I need to, who do I give them to? Brian and Scott. That's who.
Brian and Scott. I'll give you my email address right now.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. And it makes me sad because I was wanting to fire up Blood Omen at Legacy of Kain on my PS3, which I bought a while back. We talked about, but I haven't finished repairing it yet. I couldn't do it, but you could at one point in time get Blood Omen Legacy of Kain on the PS3. I think you should find a way to do that.
Was it digital only or could you get a disc?
I'm not sure. That's a darn good question. But I have been told and I have read it is possible. So I don't know. Good question.
Possible is a good word.
I think so, because I mean, it says the PS3. I think you still have access to stuff on the PS3, right?
I think
I don't know. I don't have one. Jim didn't send me a PS3 unboxed PS3 for my birthday.
I think the store is shut down. So I don't think, unless you downloaded it and have it, I don't think you get. I could be wrong on this, but
we'll see.
I think that and the Vita both got shut down. I think I could be
right. I wouldn't doubt it.
The Vita was awesome, and they screwed that up. They should have kept that game machine going.
Right.
All right. Hey, Brian, how's your Dreamcast HDMI adapter? Is it working? Is it functioning?
It actually works pretty good. Now, I've talked about my Dreamcast I bought a while back. It is a Japanese version, but it has, as many of them did, it had a VGA out. Good Lord, I couldn't say it. It's a display port to VGA. But the problem is, on my capture card, it has all kinds of funkiness. So I just went on to the Amazons and I looked at this little adapter here. It's called a Keiko. And it plugs into the display port of the Dreamcast. On the other end, it's got an HDMI out and it looks pretty darn good.
That's Chief O'Brien's wife, Keiko. That's what that is.
Yeah, Keiko.
Yeah.
And it sends out a 640 by 480p. That's right. Not progressive, not interlaced, unlike the composite and component, which are interlaced. It's progressive and it looks really good, 60 frames per second. And that's how I played Legacy of Kain this past week. That's right. I got the real deal Sega Dreamcaster. Now, like I said, I do have the Japanese version. This is a North American release. So all I had to do was just fire up my Codebreaker disc and fool the Dreamcast into believing that I was region free. And so suck it. Sega.
We're going to have to do a boring episode where we talk about why regions happened, why that was a thing. You know,
right, and how we avoid it so often today. Thank God,
because today, thankfully, no one does that stupid stuff anymore.
It's still there, but it's
not nearly as bad. Switch is region free now. Freaking Xbox has been region free a couple of generations. PlayStation, I believe, is still region free now. The PS4 was also region free. Like that's the way we want to live, man. This region stuff, freaking F off. One world, world, baby, one world. Woo,
one world order. Woo, right here on the
Maybe also, one world order, but yeah, go ahead.
Right. Speaking of better video, I've been struggling since we did the Pitfall episode to get me a 300 ohm to 75 ohm, which is to my TV so that I can play my Atari 2600 Pitfall. Mm-hmm. Finally, Philips came through with a quality product and it looks great. Good. And I also got to find out, since I finally had that adapter, that my Odyssey 2 is dead.
Oh,
it doesn't look so great.
Oh, your Odyssey 2 is dead?
My Odyssey 2 is dead. I'm assuming I probably got to do some recapping. So we'll see. I just got to replace some capacitors. Probably is the issue.
That's a bummer. But I'll tell you what. You once again proved Philips doesn't make crap. Everything they make lasts forever and works great. They're awesome.
Yep.
Love those guys.
It was still brand new in a box. It was like overstock that somebody had on eBay. So it was like, I'm sure they didn't make them recently.
Probably.
But yeah.
I'm telling you, that toothbrush of mine, never going to die.
Yeah. Let me tell you, those out there who are looking at something like that going, oh, I need, you know, to plug in to my coaxial input on my TV, but all I have is these, you know, these two little flat cables. I need to get one of those adapters. Don't get it from Amazon.
Oh.
Two different retailers sent me the same exact piece of trash that, like, it was put together by something offensive there. Something I'm not going to say. I don't know who put it together, but somebody with less than skills didn't care one.
Yeah. Well done. Well done. Brian.
Well done.
Yeah. Well done with your Odyssey. It's dead. Everybody.
It's dead. I can't believe it's dead.
Well, don't worry. There's another thing that might be alive if we have anything to say about it. And that's the future of the Legacy of Kain series, which we will now talk about by playing this intro with Kain talking.
There is a magical operation of maximum importance. The initiation of a new aeon. When it becomes necessary to utter a word, the whole planet must be bathed in blood.
Shall we play a game?
Hell yeah, we're going to play this game. It's Legacy of Kain for the PlayStation 1, 1996.
96 for the PlayStation 1, 97 for Windows 98. What? Yes.
Wait. Windows 98, got it in 97. That's cool.
Right.
Remember when Windows named themselves after years? That was stupid. That was dumb.
That was dumb. And it also was because if they were on track, they looked good, because it's like, hey, you get Windows 98 and 97, you're ahead of the curve, just like when you buy a car. But then later on, it's like, this isn't working out. We're starting to lag behind, and now we're releasing, you know, Windows something something, and it looks late.
Yeah, it was
at
dumb.
A date.
Yeah, and Millennium Edition. Oh, let's not.
Yeah, the Emmy Edition was so good.
That thing broke that locked up everything I played. I was playing a lot of Quake back then, a lot of Unreal Tournament. What else? Also a lot of Counter-Strike. All of it had problems with ME. I regretted that upgrade so hard.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, we all did. We immediately all either ran back to Windows 98 or went over and said, how about some something else, like some NT? Yeah, now we're really pushing it.
Yeah, NT, I think I did put NT on there. And even though everyone's like, that's for business, I'm like, I don't care. It's more stable.
Well, I'm playing games like a business, so back off.
It's a pretty good butthead you got going.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
I just watched a whole bunch of Beavis and Butthead, so I don't remember it. Anyway,
there's more coming too.
Let's talk about. I know I saw some of the new stuff. So check this out: Legacy of Kain series, originally created by Silicon Knights in association with Crystal Dynamics. You may know them from the recent resurgence of the Tomb Raider series. Still making games, still a big deal. Although they just got sold off part of a deal.
Bought.
Yeah, they got bought. Well, sold off from Square Enix, who bought them some years ago.
Well, yeah. And now they're with Embracer Group, which is a real interesting story in itself.
Yeah, that Embracer Group stuff is weird, but whatever. They claim they're great. And
I've got great hopes for that, because so Embracer Group was started by what's his name? Lars Wingfors. And he was like 13 in the 1990s, and so he loved this kind of stuff. You know, this was his jam, and so he's been pumping money back into these places. They're not actually, the Embracer Group isn't actually like taking over and making develop. They're like pumping money in, right?
Yeah, they are investing and pumping money in. You're right. They seem to be pretty passionate. I just think the name is stupid. That's all.
Yeah. Embracer Group. It's not good. Embrace it.
Yeah, embrace the group, I guess. But anyway, so this game, Legacy of Kain, it's an action-adventure series. You guys probably know it by the fact that it was, at the time anyway, it was respected for its outstanding narrative and involving puzzle-based gameplay. And it broke new ground. It had like really high-quality voice acting, really cool storyline, complex, really dark characters. It was pretty bloody. Crystal Dynamics took over development after release of the first game and went on to do four more sequels. And that's not just a quick story, is it? Wasn't there a bunch of... There was a big fight. The rights to it, and Silicon Knights and Crystal Dynamics and who got to work on it next. That was a contentious chicken.
Right. Silicon Knights, from my reading. Okay, once again, I didn't know much about this one until I did my deep dive this past week. So if I get anything wrong, excuse me, because there's a lot of data out there and there's a lot of lies, apparently. Because there's all kinds of differing stories. Anyway, from the way I understand the story, Silicon Knights started the game, and then Crystal Dynamics, who also develops games, kind of came in a little later on, saw that it was having some success when they were showing it off, and they made the team larger. And so, you know, they got a little more input in there, and eventually it was more the IP was kind of Crystal Dynamics, and it was less Silicon Knights, and there was an agreement, not a legal agreement, that going forward, Crystal Dynamics would own that IP. It would, we know, would continue the series. So
yeah.
Silicon Knights had their heyday in the original Blood Omen, and after that, they kind of stepped out of the whole thing.
There. Well, a fun side note: they used to have an office. Crystal Dynamics had a main office in a place called Pleasant Grove, Utah, which isn't far from me. It's like 20 minutes south or something.
Right.
And I got to go there one day. Don't remember why or who invited me or why I was there at all. I don't remember. Somebody knew somebody. But we went in there and they were making, as we walked in, they were still building and making and rendering out and looking at previews and stuff of the Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver intro movie. The one where he walks into the room and he cuts his wings off, that whole thing. So
yeah,
I got to see that.
That is so good.
It's so good. It still holds up. Looks like shit, but the concept and the tone of it is fine. It doesn't look good.
That's probably because you played the PlayStation version, right? To Soul Reaver. Is that what you did?
Yeah, but that intro cinematic, which isn't gameplay, it's it's bad.
Let me show you the Dreamcast version when you get a minute.
Well, they didn't redo it. All they did was clean it up a little, but it's still the same animation. I've looked at both. I looked at them today. It's not great. I mean, it's the 90s.
It's better than Reboot.
Well, everything's better than Reboot.
Do you remember Reboot?
Yeah, Reboot was bad. Reboot was bad.
It wasn't bad. It was just early.
It was early. Early. Look, I said this on Twitter today. Somebody else brought up Reboot, and I said, look, just Reboot and Beast Wars were so full to the brim for potential. I knew when I was looking at them that we weren't going to end here. This was going to just get better and better. So nothing but respect. But those early days,
it was our first steps, man. It's like the PlayStation we talk about all the time. It's like it was one of our first steps. And so, yeah, it looks kind of rough now. But it is still, I think it is actually holds up really well on the Dreamcast and the Windows version as well, too. By the way, good luck trying to find the Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver. You know why? Because according to Steam and other locations, good old games, it's been pulled by the developer. And I'm assuming that means Crystal Dynamics. And I assume that means it's part of that Embracer thing. Why did they pull it? I want to know.
I think it's because, well, first of all, I don't think they think
it's a remaster. You think we're moving forward with something?
I don't think they have. I don't think remasters happen because I think the original assets are gnarly and not great. I say this, but I just started playing a little bit of the Spyro the Dragon remasters. They're really good.
So good.
But they almost really feel like remakes, you know? Like, I can tell there's a lot of new work in those things. So my expectation is if they're going to do anything with it, the old stuff, they'll do remakes of them. Or they'll just go straight to a new game. And I'd be fine with that. Like, give me a new Soul Reaver game. Make it a big open world. Give me, you know, make it feel like a big Spider-Man, you know, like we know what to do with third person games now. So it's not like there's, you know, they're not going to be out of ideas and go for it. And let's get that tone and that story and that darkness and all that stuff.
I wish Amy Hennig wasn't already doing something else, even though I'm super excited about her new projects. Man, I would love to see her make a return to the.
She's great.
This is the franchise.
Yeah. I mean, this is really where she laid her eggs. That sounds terrible. This is where
this is where she laid her eggs, her golden eggs.
Yeah, like this is where her work really, you know, exploded her out and turned her into the epic storyteller game developer she is today. And she deserves the credit. It's an amazing narrative with great audio. Here's some more of that.
The tavern's closing. Best be on your way, stranger.
What? No mug of ale for a weary traveler from distant Corhagen? I can reward you well, for I am of noble blood.
I stay open for no man in these dark times. Things come with the night that no sane man would welcome.
And so I left, cold of heart and soul, forced to the road and the long, bitter night.
See, it's like, it's self-serious to a point of like almost kind of ridiculous, but it's done so well, and the voice acting is not throwaway. And look at any other game on these new CD-based audio, you know, better audio-based systems, PlayStation 1, Saturn, everybody else. This is better than all of that. Like, it's all bad at that era. We heard, I mean, and I'm not just talking about stuff coming from Japan that we poorly translate over here. I don't mean just that.
That's on us. That's on us.
Exactly. We can take the heat for that. But a game that comes here or that we make here in the States in English or in Europe, and we have no excuse to just put the worst dialogue in there ever. Like, why are we doing that? This thing was like, hey, what if this was actually good? And it was. And I feel like it does not get near enough credit for establishing that as not a norm, but as something to strive for. Cause it's really good, man.
I was blown away. Like I said, I never played Blood Omen back in the day. I apparently had no idea what it was because in my mind, it was not this. And when I started playing it and was getting all this Shakespearean dialogue, and by the way, we're just listening to Kane in human form before he went outside and got immediately beat up and murdered by the townsfolk. Yep. That's what you get for being a nobleman.
Yep.
And so it was it was really interesting, and the gameplay was really compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a little janky now, right? Don't you think it's a little jankster now? You know, the movement's a little cheeseball, and I don't know.
I played a lot in the last couple of years of Zelda stuff, and yeah. so I it fit right in for me. But I was just like, oh, this is very Zelda-like, except it's dark fantasy, and I dug that. I thought it was. You know, it was spot on. Didn't bother me at all. I really liked it.
I think the movement could be tweaked. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing this game remade. It would really make my day to see them do that.
Right.
And you don't even need just remaster the audio. You don't need to re-record it. It's really good audio.
Well, you gotta remaster the audio because you gotta find some kind of better sound for the blood slurping.
Well, that's true. The blood slurp is pretty good. Here he is. So this is him describing the place in his castle where he goes and regenerates.
The sanctuary spell enables me to travel to my crypt where the soil of my grave provides me respite.
Yes. And that's my favorite kind of when you're going to do your tutorial, have your character go, yes, this is the room in my castle where I push my wiener through the wall or whatever it is, whatever the thing is you're doing. It's great. Right.
I knew once that some of that stuff started appearing. I'm like, okay, these people are taking their vampire lore seriously. So I'm like, it just kept getting better and better. I was impressed with their, you know, depth of knowledge of you know, modern vampire lore. And I was blown away because I couldn't believe this was a PlayStation X game. I couldn't believe it was a PlayStation 1 game.
Yeah, no, it's surprising.
It feels nothing like other PlayStation games.
To me, it felt like a PC game, but with better audio production in a way.
It was, and it was originally being developed for the 3DO and the Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
And I think it would have played well on both of those systems as well. But I'm glad it ended up being on the PlayStation instead.
It's the kind of writing that makes me want the writers to be a DM in a Dungeons and Dragons game night.
It is so steeped. Even though it is a vampire story, I mean, it really is D&D in lots of ways, mm-hmm. You know, that role playing, because we've got so many D&D elements here. We're not rolling dice or anything like that, but you got a lot there that seems like is.
I agree. Tonally, it's definitely there. And of course, you know, D&D has vampires, but this thing explores
Raven,
in a way that
Raven
I don't.
Loft, what is it?
I feel like we haven't had a good vampire game since then, until the recent release of this kind of open world survival game called V Rising, which I really like. And that's a big gap of not great vampire games. I mean, Soul Reaver, those are good games, but I don't know if they're not really vampire games. I mean, they are, but they're not. You know what I mean? Like, those are
no,
more.
No, they're not really. Yeah, I'm with you. They have definitely a less. There's vampires there, but they're more like monsters.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, even though, he's supposed to be a vampire, but he's not. He's really like a different level. He's almost like a daywalker, something like a Blade character or something. You know, he's not quite a vampire, and all the vampires are kind of, you know, instead of like the first one in Blood Omen, everything is very classic vampire, and the second one is more like they're mutated monsters and, you know.
Yeah, more underworldy, stuff, so. And it's connected, but not quite the same thing, which is actually put me off a little bit. We'll get to that in a second, because I know I wouldn't say we're, you know, I'm Team Blood Omen and Brian is Team Soul Reaver, because I like them all and I think you do too. But
yeah,
I guess I was so enraptured by the tone of the first game that the other games just kind of came along and I went, oh, well, this isn't quite the same. These are a very different character. We're doing different things, you know.
That's what I was like. I was kind of surprised that it seemed like people who liked the series seemed to be good with all the games, which really kind of shocked me, because usually when you take such a left turn in a series, you got, you know, the old guard versus the new guard, and it definitely takes a different turn, because we're talking about third person, you know, follow cam on the Soul Reaver series, everything going forward except for Blood Omen, Silicon Knights. It was a totally different vibe, even though it's got, you know, the same lore and everything. Mm-hmm. It just feels like a totally different game.
And they really are, like, just effectively they're different games. And I would argue they were more popular because they were, following the trend toward 3D. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I did miss this kind of top-down thing. And we now live in a time where we can have all the things, right? All these kinds of ways of making a game. So if they were really going to do this, at least with Blood Omen, go back, remake that game, do it in a modern engine, but still make it 3/4 view overhead, you know, Diablo looking kind of style. And you've got me. I'll buy that game today. Like, you won't even have to ask twice. I would play that game again. Now, Soul Reaver, same thing, but I actually have to, I think they have to do more work on those, because the simple platforming slash action that was in those third person games, while, you know, good enough, was of its right. time, and we have come a lot further than that now. So those are huge undertakings, I think, if you're going to redo those.
I think the I think the primary mechanic of trying to keep Raziel in the material world, and if you've never played Soul Reaver, basically you are, you was one of Kane's from the first game. You was one of his lieutenants. You grew wings, pissed off Kane. Mm-hmm. Kane ripped him off, cast you out for 500 years of suffering, and then you come back and you're going to go for revenge. Also a topic in the very first one as well. A lot of revenge stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so here we are in our soul reaving. And the thing that was good about it was the shifting, the plane shifting. So you go from, you know, the spirit world to the material world. And that's a really neat mechanic for solving puzzles. And so I think it still could stand out. I think there's enough there that it could still stand out.
Oh, for sure. Setting wise, character wise, all that stuff, no problem. I just think they have to go a little nuts with, like, how, you know, the environments and what they look like and how big they are and the mechanics within those environments and all that. Like, we're just in a different place now.
Yeah, you go even more open world, even though, but it's all, like, most of it's like underworld stuff. So yeah, but I think they were, and Amy Hennig had already talked. She said that she felt like, and she should know, she started out with Blood Omen, even though she wasn't like a direct lead or anything. And at that point in time, she was just involved with the, right, with the project. And then when the second one, she, you know, she went to more like director and doing more things. And so she saw it as a progression of like Zelda. She saw it like how the Zelda series was progressing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think you would just, you could just almost, once again, just look at Zelda, go where did it go?
Yeah.
It's that's still a good doing
point.
Its thing.
That's a good point. I think they could have gone that
Soul
route.
Soul Reaver, Breath of the Wild.
I don't know why they stopped. Actually, kind of do know why they stopped, because Defiance is a bad video game. But we'll get to that in a second. Before we do that, a couple spoiler. Other things here. We got, I love the groaning and dying people in the first game. There's just a lot of repeated audio of them going,
That was one of the things that was so intriguing to me in the first one, because, like I said, I hadn't played it before, and I got to experience the whole thing, which I'm sure you experienced many times over. It's like, oh, am I good or bad?
All right.
Am I evil? What am I trying to do here? And that's the question they want you to ask. And so even in 2021, 2022, what year is it?
2022 is the year.
2022. Yeah. Yeah. I live in retro world so much, I don't even know what year it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was still asking those questions. These people are moaning and sound like they're in pain. Am I supposed to suck their blood, or am I supposed, is there another way to release them? Because I tried doing that a couple of times. I was like, well, maybe if I chop their chains. Nope, I just chop their head off.
Yeah. And there's some of them are always going, they repeat it a lot, but the guy will go, please help me, good sir. And then you can't do anything but suck his blood. That's all you got.
I was compelled at that point to go, oh, am I not looking at this right? Am I not really just seeking, because once you get your revenge really early on, mm-hmm. but then you're manipulated into believing that there's a deeper revenge for you to have. And so no spoilers here on the story, because I don't know. I debated about this a lot before this episode, how much I was going to give away with story, because this story goes deep.
It does. There's a lot that happens. Old. It's old. It's fine.
It's old. Right. Yeah. But you can still enjoy it.
Yeah, you can still enjoy, I guess. I mean, if you're going to try to track this thing down. I think the original game, the PS1 game, is like downright ugly. It's really hard for me to look at. I think that the later PC, the Windows PC version looks great.
Right.
PS2 version of 2 looks really good. So there's, you know, we definitely got places pretty quick, but that PS1 edition of the third person Soul Reaver.
Did you get to play it on Windows? Did you get to play it any?
No, I didn't do that version. I saw some video though. Just to compare the two.
I bought that one. I bought them all on Good Old Games. And I think half of them were like 99 cents. I can't remember. I think the first one might have been $5 on Good Old Games. And by the way, for the longest time, Good Old Games couldn't even get the Blood Omen, because there was still arguments going on with Silicon Knights and Crystal Dynamics about, you know, absolute ownership and
sure.
all the other stuff.
Yeah, that pillars stuff goes on forever.
My Pillars of Nazgoth. You can't take it wherever you want to, my Pillars of Nazgoth. We named it Blood Omen. But
you know what I call those guys? Ex-chicken. That's what I call them.
They,
Let's hear this intro to Soul Reaver we've been talking about. Yeah. We haven't really heard it. Let's hear what this sounds like.
I am Raziel, firstborn of his lieutenants. I stood with Cain and my brethren at the dawn of the Empire. I have served him a millennium.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah. That
so
music
badass.
Is awesome. Does it remind you of Information Society?
The background stuff a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Pure energy. Was, yeah.
Yeah. That was written. It was by the Information Society.
Oh, guy. Really? Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was like, wait a minute, that sounds really familiar. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's Kurt Harlan, according to what they said in the tribute.
Well, that's the video, or that's the audio from the render that I was watching them build while I was in that office. Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool. And by the way, some other folks came out of it that people have heard of. Corey Stockton, who went on to work at Blizzard, still does, known for a ton of World of Warcraft work. Stockton was with them at Crystal Dynamics for a long time. So, you know, a good pedigree over there. A lot of devs came out of there. Moved on to other things. Here's him talking after he finds out that he's Skeleton Man or whatever he became. Here you go.
What madness is this? What pitiful form is this that I have come to inhabit? Death would be a release next to this travesty.
It's so great, dude.
It really is. Can you believe that Cain threw out Raziel just because he grew some wings? Come on.
You shouldn't throw him out. You should keep. Well, he felt threatened though. His.
He did.
You know, if you're gonna grow wings, you're already cooler than Cain. So Cain's like, nope, can't do that on my watch. Get the F
no,
out
sir.
Of here.
Oh, it was. Even though the video is old and stuff, it looks better on the Dreamcast. Like I said, it looks 1,000 times better on the Dreamcast. That wing ripping is painful even at that early on stage of. Oh, of 3D graphics.
Hell yeah. And I love how to glide, he has to grab the ends of his shattered wings and hold them out. And
yeah. You know, oh, they're so, it's so grody. I mean, but I'm with you, man. If they could find a way to do that in modern terms, like Devil May Cry or something, kind of.
Well, they could totally do it. There's a million other games now that are either like this or do things that would be similar. There's no reason they can't make a game today.
Yeah.
Same thing goes for Tomb Raider. I mean, look at those new Tomb Raiders compared to what they used to be. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, since Eidos was involved in everything, oh man, everybody was like wanting to compare this to Tomb Raider back in the day. I was reading a lot of magazine reviews and stuff, and you know, the developers wanted to say, no, it's more like a Zelda type thing, and everybody was like, no, it's a follow cam, it's definitely Tomb Raider.
Yeah, it's Tomb Raider, because that's what we have to compare with in the year 1996.
Yeah.
Here's a lady. There's a lady in it.
A body is needed for sleep. Flesh and bones are required to recline. No, child. All I may do is watch.
I feel like I could sleep if I didn't have a body. It'd be okay.
That'd be all right. Yeah, yeah. I could sleep really good with no body. With no hurts, no pain.
I was going to say, maybe even better, because I'm not rolling over.
Yeah.
I'm not snoring.
Yeah, screw you. I'm sleeping.
I'm sleeping, baby. the end of that game. Go ahead.
How deep did you get into the? I tried not to get too deep into the lore, but man, it was really drawing me in. Like the Pillars of Nazgoth, and you know the guardians who guard over top of it, the nine guardians, and all the freaking cutscenes were there in these games. It's like, what the hell is going on?
There's a lot,
and all these cutscenes.
Yep, there's a lot. Yeah, the game. What I like about it is the game sort of gives it trusts the player to be interested. Maybe that's a poor idea, because I don't know that it actually kept people super interested if they know that much about the lore. But they weren't afraid to say, well, let's give it tons of lore. Like, what's the problem with that? We can have gameplay, but we can also have so much story that people will be compelled. You know, in a more modern sense, people would have Reddit pages to go to and Wikipedia articles, and they could catch up and understand and go, oh, no, wait, Pillars of Nazgoth, what's going on? Like, they could understand it more today. But back then, you didn't have all that.
Oh, no, but there were plenty of, okay, so I was going to look for a strat guide on this thing, because the Soul Reaver specifically, because I got hung up pretty early on. I'm like, this is dumb. How am I getting hung up already?
Yeah.
And I forgot, oh, yeah, games used to be hard. And, but they had these, all kinds of great strategy guides or magazines. If you ever go to archive.org and look at the gaming magazines and just zoom through those, I found a great little write-up, and I kind of followed that. I could have went to the internet. I could have watched a walkthrough, but I wanted to do it like I would have done it back in, you know, 1999 or 2000. And it was a pain in the ass. But I did enjoy myself. So there's that.
Why did the PlayStation 1 have such trouble keeping straight lines straight? You know what I mean? It's so weird.
Oh, yeah, that was... There's a couple... Oh, wow, we could really go deep dive into that. So part of that is the rendering process, and part of it is even through emulation. Mm-hmm. Some of this stuff is not being emulated as accurately as the PlayStation would have actually rendered it. So there's things you can do in the emulation that will change all that. And there's also some things that are just inherent to how they rendered stuff. Yeah. I've dug deep into it, but the Dreamcast doesn't have any of these problems.
No, the Dreamcast, we figured it out by then.
Yeah.
But those early days, oof, man, so rough to look at. Oof. Here's a part of the game from a story perspective. It doesn't give anything away, but it basically tells you there's going to be a sequel. He's confronting and fighting at the end of the 5 or 6 hour running length if you just go straight and do all the stuff you're supposed to.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Unlike the 50 plus hours you could put into freaking Blood Omen.
Blood Omen's a
little
beast.
More manageable.
Yeah, this is more of a game for the public. Blood Omen's for crazy people. But anyway, this is the conversation they have, and basically it's just sequel bait, so here you go.
You nearly had me, Raziel. But this is not where or how it ends. Fate promises more twists before this drama unfolds completely.
Which is translated to, we're working on Soul Reaver 2, so see you next summer.
I read a little bit about this as well, and once again, I forgive me if I get any of these details wrong, because I had to get a lot of information from a lot of different places, because there's so many freaking lawsuits that happened in this whole series. It just seemed there was always some kind of issue or something. Anyway, all kinds of NDAs where people couldn't speak about it, like, can't talk about that. But yeah, there was... apparently there was some kind of near the end of the first one, they couldn't quite fit everything they wanted to in there, and so it wasn't like they were trying to make the sequel, but they had enough content that they had to cut, and it was like, hey, we have enough for a sequel. As a matter of fact, they were developing Blood Omen 2 at the same time as Soul Reaver 2, but Soul Reaver 2 beat it to release, because part of it was already done, because it was part of the first one. Yeah. And they just couldn't get it all in there.
Right. We're looking now, if you're in the chat, you're seeing Soul Reaver 2 that Brian just mentioned. And at the time, it was a PS2 exclusive, right? It didn't end up, did it end up anywhere ever again? Is that it?
I don't think so. I think you can get it on, I think you can get this on Good Old Games. I think I got it on Good Old Games.
Oh, interesting.
But I think it was a PS2 exclusive at that point. I don't think it ever made it to any other place. Kane, unless you're looking
Kane's basically a lizard muscle at this point.
He really is. He's, you know, we talk about the little bit about the time travel, and oh, he's got the Reaver. Mm-hmm. He's got the, oh, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
There's going to be a paradox.
Yep. That's how you reave the souls right there.
That's how you reave the souls. Yep. It's going to be a problem.
Yep. You know what I did like though? When they all get a little bit weird in their lifestyles, where they have clawed out hands and it's like two big fingers and a giant thumb and they're all pokey. I love how he jams it into objects. So if you need to move a giant block, like a huge stone block, he just goes shunk, shunk, and then moves it. It's great. That stuff's great.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the satisfaction level that is pretty much everything for me in Soul Reaver. Like you said, moving blocks to solve environmental puzzles, to move big, you know, to move big pillars from this place to that place. It feels so good because you go chunk, chunk. When you flip it over, you go hurrah, and you flip stuff over. Mm-hmm. It's so freaking cool. And then the weapon stuff, like when you have to kill the other vampires, I mean, when you're reaving them, is so cool. It's just such a cool, satisfying. You stun them because you can't kill them by flesh wounds, so you got to stake them, you know, or burn them or toss them into the water. And so you get to like pike them. You can like take them, just like shwink, and throw them up in the air, and it just kind of just,
yep.
And it's so every bit of that part is just so satisfying.
It's pretty satisfying.
It feels like you've done something.
I agree. Yeah. Some of the camera work needs help.
First generation.
Yeah, it's first gen. Right? Second gen at this point.
Well, the PS2, second gen, yeah.
Yeah, but it's, you know, whatever. Every game has that to some degree. Like, everyone talks about innovative Mario 64 was at camera control, but at the end of the day, we've learned a lot more since then, and it's not as great as you think it was. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. It was good, but we got better.
We definitely got better. Here's a little bit of, I forget what this one is. Let's see. Oh, this is Blood Omen 2 dialogue. Listen to this.
She had been in my thoughts. I almost believed I had called her myself.
She's running a microphone.
Never fear. I cannot read your thoughts, but only speak into your mind and hear you in return. Now, proceed down this street.
Okay, I wish Blood Omen 2 was... It was more...
I wish there was a lot of explanation for... You didn't need to know that.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because we're having
point.
A conversation. You didn't need to know that I could hear that in my mind and respond to you that way. That's
was a little weird. Pointless. Yeah, I agree with that. But the game lets you be Kane again. You're back, Kane.
Yes.
You're no longer Azrael or Zazrael or however that you say his name.
Yeah.
Jazriel. Jazriel. Jazz hands.
It's Raziel. Yeah. Raziel.
Yeah, you get to be Kane again. It's still third person action. It doesn't go back to the PC roots or not PC roots, the top down roots or any of that.
PlayStation 1.
This game was okay. It was all right.
Yeah.
I don't think it was bad. I think people in this format wanted Soul Reaver and wanted Zazgaral. Instead they got Kane back. And that's fine. I'm not going to poo-poo this game. It came out on the GameCube, Xbox, PlayStation 2, Windows at the time. And then I just think I was done. I think I was just like, yeah, well, these aren't for me anymore. Because the Gone felt like the important exposition, and instead it was just action at this stage for me.
Yeah. Plus, we were back to Kane, and we had spent the last two games, you know, having Kane as the absolute bad guy with an occasional, you know, he would like question his motivations and stuff. But I really didn't feel, I'm with you, I didn't feel like this format fitted Kane very
not,
well.
Not as well. But, I understand why they did it, and I understand why going back would have been weird, but it just didn't work for me as well. It's still a fine game. 2003 we're talking about here. You know, this is the game where during production Hennig left and went over to Naughty Dog, and you all have her to thank, by the way, for your Nathan Drake stories, your Left for Dead, not Left for Dead. Left for Dead? No.
No.
Also, We Are All Dead. What is it?
We're all dead. Nailed
we're all
it.
Dead here. Dead Reckoning.
Michael Jordan's Chaos.
Time for Dead. NBA Jam time 2. For... Nope. I don't remember
Jack
the name.
Jack X.
Chat room's going to say it. Last of Us. Jeez, Last of Us. Last of Us 1 and 2. She's, you know, primarily responsible for that. I forget where she ended up here recently because she's not with Naughty Dog anymore.
Amy, no. We talked about we didn't talk about it. Amy is now like a first name basis. Whatever. I've been reading a lot about her last past week. Yeah. Amy Hennig. Is currently with Skydance New Media. They haven't actually published any games yet, but they just signed two very exciting deals this year. One with Marvel and one with Star Wars.
Ooh.
Disney. And so we were going to have some new, hopefully some amazing content, because I trust Amy Hennig. She's got the jam, and I'm excited about these two new possibilities.
She's awesome, dude.
They're coming.
She's so great. Yeah. I do like her a lot.
Skydance New Media.
Do you know she worked as an animator and artist for Desert Strike? I love Desert Strike.
I did not know that. Desert Strike is going to be something we're going to talk about. The Strike series, we're going to talk about that.
Oh, man, we do have to talk. I've been playing those. I actually played Desert Strike recently.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's see. She is Skydance New Media. Lucasfilm announced they're working with a narrative-driven action adventure. You're right. Featuring. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that's right. She had a Star Wars game coming. That is. I now remember it all. It's all coming back to me.
Yep.
Yep.
Marvel has a Marvel property, too. I'm interested because she likes to write. She's, you know, she grew up on Star Wars. I did some reading some interviews of her, too. So, you know, she's big into all that stuff. She's big into all this great, you know, the hero's journey and that kind of stuff. And she likes working with, you know, IPs, but not necessarily with the mainline characters, you know. So I'm hoping that it'll be something, you know, it won't have to be like, you know, the Star Wars stuff. It doesn't have to be a Darth Vader or you know, a Skywalker story or something. I'm curious of what they're going to do.
Let's see, 57. So that means she would have been, if she was born in 64, she would have been like 12 when Star Wars came out. That must have been hugely influential for her.
Yeah, absolutely. She talks about that in several interviews. Great interviews too, by the way. And some weird interviews. IDOS took out some ads they had like these staged interviews in ads for some of these magazines. I was looking through all the magazines for interviews, and I was reading one. I was like, oh, this is an ad.
Yeah.
How weird that they would do an interview with her asking themselves the questions and then having her answer them.
Oh, that is very cool. Oh, she's writing that new Forspoken game.
Yes.
Funny enough, back at Square Enix, so kind of full circle here.
Yeah.
That game's not out yet. Comes out next year, but that looks cool.
Yeah, it does.
Upcoming action role-playing game developed by Luminous Productions, published by Square Enix, released in January next year for PS5 and Windows. No Xbox. That's a PlayStation console exclusive. That's cool.
If we ever want anyway. Okay, so we just got
give me about before we forget, before you do anything, give me quick, that quick, number. Quick, we're going to call the 1-900 number that they gave you for tips. I want to do this.
So I've got the, like we talked about pre-show, I do have the official Sega Dreamcast Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver, and inside the disc is an IDOS hint line. Yeah. And you want me to just show it to you? You want me to type it in? You want me to say
I'll type it in. Tell me the number. So we got 900 and then what?
All right. It's 1-900-773-4367. 99 cents per minute.
Let's see what happens.
So keep it short.
Yeah, we'll keep it nice and short. Here we go. I'm going to call it. We're going to see if we get any answer on this end, you guys. Here we go. Oh, did it hang up?
Oh, it hung up?
Wait, I'll try it again. That's weird.
This is the year 2000 calling.
Give me that.
No, thank you.
Give me the number. Oh, there it is. Okay, it kept it. Let me try it one more time. Let's call
it. Got to be 18 years or older.
Why isn't it working? Okay, here we go.
I wonder if you got like a 900 lock on your phone.
Oh, you know what? Maybe.
I bet there's a 900 lock.
Dang it.
That's the thing.
That sucks. You don't know what since we have this up, do you know what the Atari one is? There's like an Atari number helpline.
Oh, I do not know that one.
Old video game helplines. I got to call one of these. I just need to know.
Wasn't there a frequency written on the back of the CD case? Ask Stuff Norwegian. Let me see. Good question. I don't know.
I used to love this stuff. Okay. Forgotten video games.
We can call, and we also can call the ESRB.org for the ratings if you want to call. That's a 800 number.
Should we do it? Let's do it.
Let's do that one. You ready?
Hold on. 800. Okay. What's the rest?
1-800. Oh, it's also the same as a 771.
Okay.
3772.
All right. Let's give this a shot. Yeah. 800 number should work. All right. Here we go. It's ringing.
The number you have dialed is invalid. Please check your listing and try your call again.
The number you have dialed is rated MA-17 for general audiences. That would have been funny. All right. Well, we tried.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
Talking about the success. We talked about Amy Hennig's success and some of these great people that came out of this, and it, so much success followed everything that Crystal Dynamics was doing, and is so fantastic and great. But then if you look over at Silicon Knights and my God.
Yeah.
There's a lawsuit over there. Yeah. and they had to declare bankruptcy, and one of the main developers like got busted for child pornography, and you're like, okay, woo,
jeez, that's gnarly. I don't like any of that.
Yeah, so I was like, man, but you know what? And I don't know if you remember the lawsuit between Silicon Knights and Epic, but they sued Silicon Knights sued Epic. And lost, and then Epic countersued them out of existence.
Oh, well, that'll happen when you mess with Epic when they got the monies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially
not good.
Now. Real quick here. Okay. So this is when she left, and I don't think I blame her. Legacy of Kain Defiance, that's not a good video game.
I didn't get to Defiance, but I knew it wasn't good, so I didn't try too hard. I've heard things.
It just was rough. I think they were just coming to the end of their hose on this thing, and it wasn't great. I have something from that. What did I pull for that? Oh, okay. Here's some Defiance audio.
And so I returned to the sanctuary of my enemy, the fortress of the Sarafan Brotherhood, deemed impossible for any man to penetrate.
Penetrate.
Impossible for any man.
But not for
Kain. Actually, sounds good. It sounds good. PS2, Xbox, Windows, 2003.
It's fine. I just think they ran out of steam. That's all. And it's okay.
And they never could recapture it, right? Because they wanted this. They saw this as an ongoing series. They were just going to like release one every couple years or so. But the lore was so deep, it took like 3 years to develop each one of these things, 3+ years, as it should.
I still think they needed to go back to what made that first one what it was, because that's where the lore really shined. Everything else became just dressing for action.
Yeah, it really did. It gets like I said, it reminds me of like D&D. Once you get everything in order and you understand everything he said, I actually understood.
Yeah. No, that's
I
true.
I understood everything that guy just said because I've spent the whole week researching all of it. But if that was my first introduction to this game, I'd been like, what the hell's he talking about?
Did they ever do any books or offshoot comics or anything like that?
They did do a comic, Top Cow. Remember Top Cow?
Yeah, they're still around.
Late 90s, 2000s, right?
Top Cow, they're still a DC imprint, I believe. But anyway,
yeah, they published one comic, and it kind of was not canon.
So,
but it looks good.
Yeah? You think it looks okay?
It looks good. Top Cow did always. They always look good.
No, Top Cow was great. That was Silvestri's addition to that studio. Was his addition to the Image thing when Image happened, and then eventually Top Cow got absorbed by DC, and that's where it is. I think that's all still there today. The Top Cow stuff. I could be wrong.
I really liked Top Cow like I said, it was mostly eye candy. It was very cutting edge. It was always kind of cool, but
Don Trader 076 makes a really good point. All of these videos remind me of Darksiders. You know what?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of Darksiders in this. You are absolutely correct. I'm a big fan of the Darksiders series. Maybe that's why. And those were also, well, at least the first one was a very, very Zelda-like experience structurally. Mm-hmm. But then they would do weird things with the second one. Third one went a very different way. That fourth one is super weird, but I also like it. It's top down. It's almost like they did the reverse. They started at Soul Reaver and worked their way down to Blood Omen in a weird way. But that's a astute observation. I think these games. Yeah.
They have some similar color palettes and stuff too. Some of the characters being those kind of purplish colors. Mm-hmm. By the way, there was also talks of doing a movie and that kind of stuff. But if they were to do that, they would have had to do full CGI, and it's that would not really have been plausible until more recently, back in 2000, wherever this was first being discussed. It would be tough. It'd be a tough sell.
Brian, I don't want to create any kind of weird offshoot here, but I need you to see something because it's driving me crazy.
What do I have?
I got as a gift a shirt that says Metallica on it.
Did this come in with your unboxed PS3?
No, it did not. But it's a Metallica logo, right? And I like Metallica. Yeah, yeah. They're great. I feel like Beavis or Butthead. I don't remember who had it.
Yeah, you went to their concert. That's right. And you went to their concert last year, right?
Yeah, and I loved it. But look at me. I'm going to stand up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
This logo, I'm not twisted. This is, it's printed crooked.
It's printed. It's closer to one pit than the other. You got your... I actually have a problem with that personally. I do that myself. One of my neck holes always seems to be further over. But yeah, I think that's actually a bad print. You got you got Metallica almost under one armpit.
Yeah, and the other side, a big old gap. I need to put freaking Lars Ulrich's little stupid face right there or something. I don't know what.
Is it Lars probably pressed that himself? He was probably a little tipsy that one night and just. This is for Napster.
I'm Napster bad. I'm gonna just blame this on Target because I think that's what Target. I think these are Target.
Is that Target?
Yeah. You guys. Yeah. Maybe put your shirts on straight, or maybe don't hire or don't pay, don't have slave labor children in Indonesia make your shirts.
Yeah. So it was probably made right next to that that 300 ohm adapter I did for my Atari. It's probably right same kid probably.
Same kid in Indonesia.
Same kid.
Poor kid. All right. I hope he's okay. I hope he does all right. All right. What else we got? You got anything else you want to add to this? Any other bits and pieces?
Let me think about what we did.
I got an email of trivia. You want to hear this trivia email I got?
Absolutely. Give me the trivia.
All right. So a guy named Dan sent an email into the show, which is playretroshow@gmail.com. He says, super excited for the episode to come out. I'm talking about this one. Bit of trivia. The voice actor for Raziel, Michael Bell, is probably best known as Starscream in the Transformers. However, he did the only voice acting for a character beloved in print for decades, but animated only one time. He was the voice of Opus from Bloom County in the Christmas special, A Wish for Wings That Work.
I didn't know that.
But look how funny that is.
Special.
A Wish for Wings That Work is also what this character needs in Soul Reaver. He needs wings that work.
He needs wings that work, and then he can kick Kane's ass.
That's right. He says, he goes on to say, there's also a series of YouTube videos on the on the backstories of the tertiary characters and even the Soul Reaver itself. They go into the deleted story / level from SR1 as well. So anyway, a big fan here, it turns out Dan is. He likes this.
There is so much content out there about the legacy of Kane, and there is actually a couple of places. Okay, so there's thelostworlds.net, which is a website dedicated to just failed legacy of Kane projects. There's a whole website dedicated to that.
Sucks.
That's insane.
Yeah, that sucks. Insane. That's too bad. Well, I think this stuff could get re-earthed and repurposed. They should do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's the trivia that I found interesting, and I had to call bullshit on them almost immediately. I knew it couldn't be true. It said, in the French dub, and this is allthetropes.org.
Yeah.
It's crowdsourced. In the French dub, Kane is Morgan Freeman and Raziel is Kevin Costner. For Ooh, real.
What?
I almost believed it until they put the "for real" at the end. And I was like, now I'm suspicious. And so I went and looked, and I couldn't find anything about Morgan Freeman dubbing anything. However, I did find that the actor they were referring to, the voice actor, is Morgan Freeman's official French dub actor.
Oh,
so anytime they need a dub for Morgan Freeman, this guy does it. And he was the voice that was in the French dub.
Okay.
So I can definitely see where they probably thought, oh, that's Morgan.
That happens a lot. An actor will get paired with one, you know, basically a sister actor somewhere else in another country where they do those localizations. So that makes sense. But yeah, that's not quite the same.
So they were probably in France, and every movie they'd ever seen dub with Morgan Freeman. And of course they think that guy sounds like Morgan Freeman. Because that's the only one they ever got.
What's in the box? Don't look in the box.
Look in the box.
Wee wee poo poo. Or Andy Dufresne crawled to 500 miles of shit and came out clean on the other side. Wee wee poo poo.
Wee wee poo poo.
Real quick here, I don't know if we talked about this. Legacy of Kane Soul Reaver was temporarily removed from Steam last year. This was on March 26th of 2021. And they said, stay tuned because we have a big announcement, but then they never did anything.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Is that the story you told?
Yeah, that's part of the story. I didn't finish telling it completely, but about the time Embracer Group picked up Crystal Dynamics shortly thereafter, they got the Legacy of Kane IP too, by the way, that deal. And so shortly thereafter, that's when started getting that little message there and on Good Old Games. And so it made me think, oh, well, then one of two things is happening. They're making a remaster or they're doing something else. But I'm assuming a remaster since, you know, they actually pulled that game.
It's annoying, though, because it says Square Enix said in their statement it's working on important updates and to check back soon. And then they didn't do anything.
Yeah, that's bad form.
Poo-poo heads.
That's poo-poo heads.
Yeah, you think
because
it's bad.
I had to pull mine out so that I could play it because I couldn't get on Good Old Games.
You think it's bad that these guys want to put NFTs in every one of their games? Now they want to do this, those jackass.
I want to do this.
Jackass. All right. Well, there you go. That's basically it. That's your stuff, and it's a cool series. You guys should check it out. And I realize again, it's probably a smaller group of people that were like super jazzed about anything to do with Legacy of Kane and its sequels. But for
when this came out back in the day, I was not, and we've talked about this in the show before. During this time period, I didn't want a lot of talky, and so games like Soul Reaver, I played a little bit. And then when they would get too many cutscenes, and I'd be like, okay, I'm sick of this. Mm-hmm. And I would just leave. And now, that's my jam.
Yeah,
I love that stuff. So I'm going back, and I'm going to try to complete at least Blood Omen, which is going to take a long time. It's going to take me probably close to a year's the way I play. I'm being serious.
You can mainline it. There's a lot of stuff you can skip over to get to the end, so you'll be okay.
And I'm also going to finish Soul Reaver, the Legacy King. I'm probably not going to finish 2 and the rest of them, but I definitely feel like I need to go back and complete.
Definitely those. Don't
so
play.
Tune in later this year.
Don't play Revengeance or whatever the hell it's called. What's it called? Defiance. Defiance. Don't play that.
Defiance. Yeah, Defiance. Yeah, the Star Trek ship, Defiance.
Continue to be defiant about Defiance. It's not very good.
I'm out of it. No way. Not happening.
Good deal. How about this now? It's time for this right now.
Destroy it.
It's time to destroy it. Let's talk about play our, or guess my game. This is a game, play our game. Guess our game. Brian and I brought audio to the show. We play it for each other, and then we try to guess what the hell game it is. We have a couple of hints. I'll start. It's 1995.
Oh.
If you need it, I'll tell you console after I start.
When the PlayStation launched.
Yeah, that's Japan or here. I don't remember. Who got it first? Japan got it first, but was it that year?
Right. Was it 95 or 90? I forget now. Anyway, yes, it's close to that. Was it on the PlayStation?
Yes. No, this is not on the PlayStation. This is, or is it?
Venice Boot.
This is a Genesis game. There's your hint. It may have been on the SNES. Super Nintendo may have had it, but I played it on the Genesis back then. I played it again now. I'll just say it doesn't hold up, but I want to see if you know what it is. All right? Here's the audio. Not Legacy of Kain, by the way.
No. I thought you already did this one.
Nope.
I mean, I know what it is because I launch it every day. It was like it was the only card I had on my Genesis when I got it for a while.
Yeah.
And I love this game.
You think you know what this game is? You think you know what this is?
Oh, I absolutely know what this game is.
What is it?
I can pull it out. I can pull the card out over here. It's in my system right now. It's Real Monsters.
Oh my hell, you know exactly what it is. I'm blown away by that.
Yeah.
I thought you wouldn't know. I don't know why
That's my original. You didn't know that. That was like the one and only cart I had for like almost 6 months when I got my Genesis running before I got some more. So.
Oh man, that's kind of sad because it doesn't hold up very well. It's kind of bad.
I thought people give it poo poos, but
I played it today.
I've said this in other things too. If you only got one game, it's not that bad.
All right. Yeah. If you're
it's the only game you got.
If you got one game to your name, this is fine. It's fine.
Right.
Well done. Man, you hauled ass on that one. All right. Let's do yours.
I was trying to drag it out because I was like almost knew it almost immediately as soon as you started playing. I'm like, oh my God, I've heard this a million times.
No, that's totally fine. All right. Let's do this 1997 game you chose. Anything else you want to say about it?
Yeah. I want to say that I can't remember what I picked. So if you start playing it.
I saw you digging around in the dock. Like,
hopefully it'll come up to me really quick here. Yeah.
All right. Like, here we go. This is it. That sounds like sex. Hold on. Let me hear that first part again. What is he doing?
Oh, I know what this is. I know what this is.
Okay. Which console?
This is published by Acclaim, and I will tell you that it was on a good bit of things. I'm trying to. Because the way it was listed, it was all listed because it's been reissued since then. But I think it was originally on the Windows and let's see.
I definitely
Windows said, on this, Mac too.
This sounds like a game that was probably on a Genesis and Super Nintendo.
I don't think it was, actually. I think it was... It could have been... It was definitely on the N64.
Okay.
I don't think it made any other consoles until later when they started repackaging it.
Oh! The Indian dinosaur shooter thing.
Indian dinosaur shooter thing!
Hold on.
What is that called? Gonna drive me crazy. Oh, Turok.
Turok. Full name.
Is that correct?
Turok colon. Dinosaur killer hunter. Close enough. Dinosaur hunter.
Oh, dinosaur hunter. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody in the chat get it? Let's see. Oh, some people said Doom.
I believe they eventually did.
Definitely not Doom. Oh, yeah, they got it toward the end here.
Yeah, but it's just that engine, right? Isn't it on the...
I don't think it's on the
engine. Is it on the Quake? Which engine was it on? It was it had a lot of the same sound effects.
I mean, it started as an N64 only thing. That PC stuff came later, I think.
Yeah. Doom. I said Goom.
Goom.
I'd play Goom. I'd play the hell out of Goom.
Yeah. I don't know what... I don't think it was just some proprietary thing. I don't think it was like a common engine, as far as I know.
Right.
It's been a while, though, since I've played or looked or even talked about Turok. But look at us both getting our things today. This is great. This is based on a comic book, by the way. I remember that. I think it was Dark Horse or somebody. And I never read it, but it was all based on that. And let's see if I can find any info about it. Oh, yeah. Titled Dinosaur Hunter, released in 97 for the N64. It also came with that pack, didn't it? The N60. Where'd Brian go? He disappeared. Oh, there he is.
I'm right here. I'm listening.
I just looked at your camera and you were gone. Oh, there it is. Nice.
Yeah. Our Real Monsters right there.
Monsters. Nice. Anyway, it was N64 first. I think it had that Rumble Pack thing, or at least the expansion or Advanced Pack or whatever the hell it was called. Then there was a Game Boy version, Game Boy Color version. You're right about PC and PlayStation and all that. Why don't we have that game now? Why isn't there a new Turok game?
I thought they'd, like a couple of years ago, didn't they do like a, wasn't a remaster, maybe it was a, maybe it was re-released.
There was a re-release for PlayStation 3 and 360 and PC, but it was just a re-release. Right. There wasn't anything fancy about it. There was also an animation, but I don't remember what that was about.
Yeah, I don't know if that was any good. I just remember it was one of the ones I played briefly.
Yeah,
back in the day, and every time I look back and go, oh, I played that, but I don't remember much about it, and I'm like, why didn't I play more of it?
Yeah,
and I kind of always want to know. I'm like, I want to go back and figure out why it didn't get me then, because I know a lot of people like Turok.
Yeah, Turok was a big deal, and it was also the first time the N64 did something rad with a shooter that wasn't the Doom 64 game. So
yeah,
you know, people were stoked about that.
Speaking of the N64, they had Gex on there, so you know, the question was for some people. Was like, because Gex 3 was the engine they were using for Legacy of Kain, the Soul Reaver.
Soul Reaver. The one you're playing all the way through, Soul Reaver.
I couldn't say it. I couldn't say it for a second there, but Soul Reaver. That was using
the Gex engine was the Soul Reaver engine?
Yes. And so if I understood everything I read, and so they had Gex on the N64. And I thought, I was like, oh, why didn't they ever get it? Because they got the GameCube.
Gex started on the 3DO was the original Gex, I think.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh. And I was like, why didn't they have it? And then I started thinking about it. And I was like, oh, because the N64, because Nintendo was so convinced they had to have carts, they probably didn't have the space for all of that audio dialogue like they had on CDs. Everything else was CD systems.
Yeah.
And I was like, see what you did in 64?
Yeah, look what you did,
Nintendo.
You bastards.
You locked yourself out.
That's right. They did in a lot of ways. They don't like to admit that, though.
No.
What's crazy is that tiny little postage stamp cartridge in your Switch has no problem with any of those things. It's all good.
Right.
we've come a long way, folks. It was originally a 3DO game, Gex was, then PC, then what's in the SS? Sega Saturn.
Sega Saturn.
Wasn't ringing a bell for some reason. PS1 also. And then Gex Enter the Gecko was PS1 N64 Game Boy Color. And then Gex 3 Deep Cover Gecko, PS1 Game Boy Color and N64. Those Gex games are all right.
Yeah. I went back and played one just to see, because that's what I was looking for. I looked at the N64 Gex just to see how it was.
They weren't the worst things ever. It was the first Crystal Dynamics game I ever played. And it had, if I remember, it starred Dana Gould, who's always on that Wait, Don't Tell Me show. I think that's who that is. Yeah, there it is. Dana Gould, who was only, he's only in his 20s when he did the voice. Crazy.
Young man.
There you go. A young buck. Well, that's it for guessing your games. How about these?
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
Booty. All right, we're going to talk about an email. We got an email at playretroshow@gmail.com. This came from Jason H., who says, Scott, last week you mentioned playing Pokemon Pinball on the show and that you started seeking out pinball experiences. Have you ever tried the pinball emulation software? It's gained widespread use as people are making full-size virtual pinball tables out of televisions now. Yes. Ibit has something like this. It's the 1UP Arcade one, but it's a Marvel table, but it's a screen.
Not surprised Ibit has a Marvel table.
Yeah, this should not be a surprise to anyone who knows Brian Ibit. Anyway, I'm assuming you've seen it, but in case you haven't, it's definitely worth a look since you can play old machines that are impossible to find, as well as classics like Adam's Family. Here's the link to the main files. I promise it isn't a link to Man Wieners, he says. Thanks for over a decade of laughs and companionship, Jason H. Well, you're welcome. Secondly, I am interested in this. I've been doing a lot of pinball, screwing around just with pinball games. Some time ago, the Epic Store gave away for free a pinball game that I ended up loving. It's new, but it's like an homage to the old Oh, what was the... Shoot, I'm going to find this now. It's going to bug me. But there
While
are these
you're
games...
talking about that...
Yeah, go ahead.
I will say that when I went to our local tech school to get my basic classes out of the way,
yeah,
we had an Addams Family pinball machine over there in the concessions area, yeah, and I was there every day. Every day. Yeah. Love me some Addams Family pinball.
Making that ball roll, and the Addams Family machine is amazing. It's such a good game.
Right.
Devil's Crush was the game I was thinking of. They also made Alien Crush. But these were amazing pinball games on the TurboGrafx-16, and this game is called Devil's... Shit. Demon's Crush
Devil's,
or something?
Devil's Crust.
Devil's Crust. I forget, but they gave it out for free on the Epic Store like they do with a lot of games every week, and I just thought, oh, I'll check that out, but I'll wait and try it later. Fired that up. That game is rad.
Is
super
rad?
Retro, rad, cool game that's new. It's not Devil's Horse Apples, chat room. That is close, but not quite there.
Devil's Horse Apples. Tag,
yeah.
Comment.
Yeah, we were close. If you'd like to send your own email into the show, well, it's super easy.
Yeah.
What? Go ahead.
What it is easy. I'll just click on this link that Jason promised is not a man wiener. Then why am I looking at man wieners, Jason?
Check your tabs. Check your tabs.
My bad. That's my search history.
Oh, the Playboy Stern. Oh, that's a good one, too. You know what? Oh, I'm going to go mess with this. Can I run these on my Steam Deck? Damn straight I can.
You damn straight. Can you hold it sideways?
Yeah, but I think you can do the whole... I think it does want to... I could be wrong on this. I think it does, like, perspective altering, so you could do, like, a more head-on or scrolly thing. You can scroll.
Yeah.
I think. I have to look into it. But I am kind of into that right now. I like video game pinball more than real pinball. And I know that's, you know, weird.
No.
But I do.
That's not weird.
I just feel like they can get away with more cool ideas. Like, that Pokemon pinball game, I could play that all day. It's so good. Did you know they made a Pac-Man pinball game and we didn't even talk about it?
I'm talking about the which one? You talking about the ones that challenge you go to head to head, or you talking about the one where it was
No, it's
pinball?
Like a single player thing where you're the ball and you're trying to get ghosts. It's hard to explain. It's
more of
an adventure game. I'll share it with you. It's like that Donkey Kong thing I found. That Swinging Kong or whatever the hell it is. What is it?
That's Kong the Swinger.
Oh, here it is. DK King of Swing. Look at this, chat. You ever heard of this? We talked all about Donkey Kong. We went so deep on finding everything we could about those effing games. Not once did DK King of Swing show up. This was released here, Europe, and Japan, and I missed it.
It must have been that time when we were all into the swing music. Remember that for a hot minute?
Yeah, maybe that
Big
was
band,
that
swing
was it.
Music. Yeah.
It was all swing music that made it happen. I'm sure you're right. Well, anyway, that's all fun and well. Guess what else is fun and well? Next week, we're doing Kirby.
Kirby? Oh. No, Kirby, your enthusiasm is going to be a lot of Kirby.
I'm so excited, dude. I love Kirby. I've been playing new Kirby. Well, old Kirby, new Kirby. I've also been playing retro Kirby. The best, we'll talk about this next week, my favorite Kirby game is the GBA re-release of the original Kirby game. But they remastered it to make it look like a 16-bit awesome new game. And it's still the best Kirby game. It's so fun. So fun. I want to play Kirby
right
now.
We're going to call this, I didn't realize this until today, but we're going to call this three episodes. We had Mega Man, and then we had the Soul Reaver, and now we have Kirby.
Yeah.
And all of those involve defeating a boss, absorbs their power, and going and fighting somebody else.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're doing that, but we're doing that.
Zorbs. We're going to call this the Zorb Block.
Okay, I'm in. If you want to be a part of the Zorbs Block and join us even further, join us at patreon.com/playretro. I want to welcome the following people to the Patreon this week. We got brand new patrons, Brent, Ray Hargis, Molly Fanton, and Seb. I'm not sure who Seb is. They've all joined since we last spoke, and we love you guys. If you want to find out all the reasons why to join, you can do that at patreon.com/playretro. That includes bonus content every week. That includes cool monthly rewards, and it means no commercials ever. Never an ad in your ear hole, okay? That's our promise to you if you're a patron. patreon.com/playretro. playretroshow@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter as well. I don't know why I said Gmail. And frogpants.com/playretro for everything else. Hey, Brian, is there anything you'd like to add before we go today?
I forgot to mention that Soul Reaver was based on a game idea called Shifter that was all about shifting between planes. But there, I got the last trivia in.
You got it out. I'm glad. It's like
that was rough.
You've been holding onto a poo for 3 days, and finally, it's out. Congratulations. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening, for watching, and for however you're consuming the show. In the meantime, go play something retro. We'll see you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
You will have the blood you hunger for.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.